All right, so we're on the third line from the bottom of Bayes on Bayes. We started yesterday discussing, Rob had said, we started by saying that there can be an onus as far as marriage. We said that if there was an onus of any kind prevented the wedding from taking place, the husband is not yet chayev to support his wife. Then we said that's not true of gittin. Even if a person made a t'nai in a get, and then he was nanas and wasn't able to fulfill it, the t'nai is still a t'nai. And we were trying to figure out where Rava gets that from. We brought a couple of Mishnayos, we brought a case. We still don't have a solid proof yet for what Rava is saying. We want to say, Ella Rava Svara de Nafshe, Karma. So no, what it is Rava is saying it, is saying his own Svara. He's saying that the Rabbanan had a reason to declare that this get should that this get should be in effect. That we should say ain't onus for getting. Mishum tznuos and mishum prutus, for the sake of the tzniastika women, the ones who are tzniastika meaning more in the sense of extra careful, or more machmir on themselves than they need to be, and prutus, which we'll talk in a second what prutus mean, whether it just means that they're not machmir, but they're not parutz either, or do we mean actual prutus? What do we mean? Mishum tznuos, di amrit lo lahav a get, if you're going to say that this get is not a get, what's going to happen? Zinnin is a lawyer on this. It could happen the husband didn't come back at the end of the 30 days or 12 months or what have you, not because of an onus, voluntarily, which in that case there's no question the get is chal. The sovereign of the onus, she's going to think, though, what if, to be on the safe side, what if it was an onus? The yosva, and then she's going to sit there with an aguna. And she's going to sit there as an aguna. Umishim prutus, then on the other hand, you have the problem of the prutus. Because if you say, again, if you say that it's not considered a get, zimnin the onus, you could have the other way around. There might be an onus, in which case we're saying it's not a get. The omra loy onus, she's going to think, though, that it was not that it was not an onus, that he voluntarily didn't show up. So she's going to think it's a valid get and go and get married. Even if it's a get bottle, but now mamzerim. And it turns out the get is bottle, and her children from her second marriage are mamzerim. The Tosfos explains that when we say over here prutus, Tosfos takes it that we actually mean prutus. In other words, in the sense that even if it's well known by people that there was an onus, he didn't come like in the case we had at the end of the Gemara yesterday, where he's standing on the other side of the river and screaming, I'm here, she's going to nevertheless claim, I don't know of any onus. Onus, nisht onus, I don't know of any such things. I don't know of any such things. It's a get. That's called prutus. Other Rishonim say, no, we don't necessarily mean, we're not necessarily saying a woman's going to go that far. We just mean prutus means, as opposed to tznuos, meaning a tznua is somebody who maybe inappropriately is being too machmer on herself. Prutus, in a sense, is just a normal woman who's not going to be extra machmer on herself, but is not going to be makel to the extent that Tosfos is saying. But just she'll think that the opposite kind of case. There was an onus. She's going to think, after all, maybe it wasn't an onus. Not like Tosfos is saying there was actual evidence that there was an onus and she's ignoring that, but she doesn't know. So she figures, in that case, I can rely on the idea that it probably was an onus, but then later, that it probably wasn't an onus, rather. Later on, when he shows that it wasn't an onus, she's going to think, and then she'll go and get remarried. Later on, the husband is going to show up and say it was an onus and the guest's going to be bottled.
Right.
Yeah, to get both of the name I'm there, exactly. Yeah. Now the question becomes, how could you have a possibility where midaraisa this thing is not considered a get? Why, Rashi says, because now, if Rava is saying in onus begitin, and soon the Gemara is gonna mention another possibility that maybe after all Rava holds yesh onus begitin, what would be the logic to say that there is an onus in a get? The logic is, Rashi says, very simple. We find the Torah says by an anusa, by a woman who was, by a naira hamarasa who was raped, that v'la naira they sasadah, you don't do anything to her, she's innocent, and she, because it was against her will, and therefore she doesn't get punished. We learn from that, therefore, that any case of, we learn from that, that the Torah holds of a concept of onus. Now, of course, you know, the question is, fine, we see from that pasuk that a person doesn't get punished for an onus. Here we're talking about something else. Here we want to say, here it's not a matter of punishment, here we want to say whether the get is chal or not, what's one got to do with the other? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman brings in Kovitz Shurim, he brings from an earlier sefer whose name I've forgotten, who says that we seek, what it is he explains the getter, the idea of oinus in the Torah is what we're saying, the action happened, but it's as if it happened by itself. So in the case of the Nara Mayrosa, effectively, an oinus happened, a rape happened, but it's not, but so to speak, she wasn't involved. I mean, physically, obviously she was, but halacha, she wasn't. Similarly over here, if we're saying that it is considered an oinus min haTorah, what it means is, whatever it was that he was supposed to do, he didn't do it. It happened, but without him being involved, so to speak. So min haTorah, we would say, based on that there is such a thing as an oinus, and therefore that could cancel the get. So now we're asking, how could it be that midoraisa is not a get, or mishum tznuris and mishum prutzis shorin eishas ish la'alma? And then you're saying, because of the tznuris and the prutzis, you're going to be matir someone who is an eishas ish min haTorah? And the answer is ein. Yes, famous rule that we have in the Gemara, called the mekadesh adaita d'rabbanan mekadesh. Whenever a person is mekadesh, a woman, he always does it al das the chachamim. He has in mind that he's doing it only with the consent of the chachamim. Torah just points out that's why we say Arav Kodesh is the Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Kedas Moshe means according to the dinim of the Torah, and Yisrael includes the Takanas Rabbanan. The Afkeinu Rabbanan the Kedushim, and therefore the Rabbanan are able to undo the Kedushim.
From many years back.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's finish with.
Right.
Let's finish with these next couple of lines, and then I'll explain. There's a huge amount of ink that has been spilled on these couple of lines of Gemara. One of the questions is actually one of the things that the Rishonim discuss. Are we talking about that we're mafkia retroactively, or are we just talking about that we're mafkia from now on? In this case, what do we have? There's a get that was given, where there was a condition attached. There was a condition attached. If I don't come back within 12 months, now at the end of the 12 months, he's claiming there was an onus, and maybe he doesn't even have to claim. He could be standing there on the other side of the river screaming. We see there's an onus. But we're saying min haTorah, therefore the get is batal. What are the Rabbanan doing? We're saying we're being mafkia the kedushin. So are we saying, one way of looking at it is we're saying we're being mafkia the kedushin retroactively, in other words, that there never was a kedushin in the first place, which that's how Rashi learns, for example. Or the other way of looking at it, some of the Rishonim say, is that we're being mafkia mikanu labo, from now on, we're considering. Let's finish with these couple of lines and we'll see. Now, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Tenach Kaddish B'Kaspa, that works out if he was Mekaddish with Pesif. If he was Mekaddish with money, we can say that it was Aldas, we can say that it was Aldas L'Chachamim. Kaddish B'Biyah Ma'i Kalamema, what are you going to say if he was Mekaddish B'Biyah, how are you being Mafkiyah? It's again, according to Rashi, that we're talking about that you're Mafkiyah retroactively, there never was a Kedushin here in the first place. When there was Kedusha Kesef, fine, you can say that we consider the money was never given in the first place. But Bia, what happened to the Bia? Are we gonna make it a Bia Fnus?
That's what it comes up.
And the answer is
and the children become the Mamzerim?
No, the children won't be Mamzerim. The children
the
children who are children who are born from an unmarried couple are not Mamzerim at all. They're Gumim maybe, but they're not Mamzerim.
What?
Everybody
will say it, not they will know. But the world will say it, the oil will say that.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
They're called.
Yes. Anyway, so Kaddish would be a Ma'ikal Meimer, and the answer is yes, Shabu Rabbanan L'Bi'ila, so Bi'ila Snus. Yes, Rabbanan do consider in that case that his Bi'ila was Bi'ila Snus, retroactively. Now, so first of all, Rashi starts out by explaining why would there be a difference between Kesef and between Kesef versus Bi'a. So Rashi's explanation is what we just said, basically, that Mela, you could say that money, you could say it's considered like you didn't give it, but Bi'a is Bi'a. How are you making it Bi'ila Snus? And the answer is yes, if we have to, we consider it bialosnus. Then Rashi brings something from his Rebbeim, which actually goes back to Rabbeinu Gershom. They say that the difference is Kedusha Kesef only Durabonim. Only Kedusha Bia and Shtar, maybe, are Daraisa.
The Mishnah says
that there's three ways.
Yeah.
There's Shlosha Durachim. It says Kesef Shtar and Bia. And the Gemara explains over there that Bia we know min haTorah, ki yikachi, the Bia we know explicitly min haTorah, ki yikachi ishisho va'ila. Money we learn kicha mitzde Ephraim. And Shtar we learn from v'yatza v'haisa. The Rashi's Rebbeim explained that Kedusha Kesef are only Durabonim. Rashi says, what are you talking about? First of all, it's a Gzeira Shava. Something that's learned from a Gzeira Shava is considered Daraisa. It's not Darabanan. Besides that, also, I mean, what are you going to say? Somebody with Niskadish, a woman with Niskadish with money, she's not considered an Eshes Yishmin HaTorah. You're not Chayev Kores of Skila for having relations with her. You're not Chayev a Chatas, etc. So Rashi completely rejects that explanation. Not only here, there's a number of other places in Shas where Rashi brings this explanation, and in each case, he argues against it. In Yevamos, he doesn't even mention that as Rebbeim said this. He just said Yesh Meforshim, and he says Toas Gadol. It's a huge mistake to say this. Nevertheless, though, the Rambam, it seems, does hold that way. The Rambam writes that Bia is Minatura, and Kesef, he says, is Medibre Soferim. And the Meforshim over there, of course, have a field day with what the Rambam means by it and how the Rambam would answer Rashi's objection.
How would he learn the Mishnah?
The Mishnah is not a problem. The Shloisha Drachim, Hayisha Niknes B'Shloisha Drachim, fine. So one of them is Daraisa, and two of them are Darabanan, or two Daraisa, one Darabanan, whatever. But there's one vort that indeed the Rambam of course agrees that money we learn kicha kicha misdeafrin by Gzeira Shava, either he holds it's just an asmachta, or he would say yes, it's a limud, but midibre seifrim includes anything that the chachamim learned with the shloisha semidah, it's chatur and adreshes for him. We learned back in a few months ago in Moed Katan, we discussed the idea that the Rishonim have a machlokas over the whole question. Those of us who are learning Shlosha Prakim of Rambam now, this is the current Shlosha Prakim about Malacha and Chalamoyed, is it also Daraisa or is it also only Darabanan? And one explanation is that the basic concept of not doing Malacha during Chalamoyed is Daraisa, but the Torah left it up to the Chachamim to determine what Malachas and what circumstances are and aren't Mutter. Once they decided that, then yes, it has the status of something Daraisa, but the actual definitions come to Darabanan. Some of Horsham explained that that's how the Rambam would say every year also. He would say that Kedusha Kesef, the Torah defined as Kedusha Gia. The Torah left it up to the Chachamim to determine what other methods of Kedusha are there. The Chachamim figured out, based on Midrash Chatur and Midrashas to him, Kesef and Shtar. Once they came up with those, then those have an effect Daraisa. They make her an Eishes Daraisa. But the actual concept of them comes from the definition of the Rabbanan, and therefore the Gemara could argue over here that maybe there's more reason that the Rabbanan should be able to override that rather than Kedusha Bia, which they didn't even have a say in.
But then the Mishnah is saying Kesef Shtar Bia. In other words, you're taking Bia, which is the Raisa in the Mishnah, and you're putting the Rabbanan first.
So what? We find that in a few places. We had at the beginning of Yevamos that Milta Da'afti Medrasha Chavivale, that's something that we learn out from a Drasha is more precious. If I think the Gemara actually said so in Kedushin as well, I don't remember. Anyway, so all that is one angle on this, the difference between Kedusha Kesef and Kedusha Bia. The other big question, by the way, that everybody discusses is, if we're saying over here, after Inu Rabbanan the Kedushi, why don't we use the same mechanism all over the place? So we have our case over here of an onus and a get. We have the case that we learned in Yevamos and is mainly discussed in Gittin about somebody who was mevatel a get, where I'm gamil azok and meitzakana, that the bittul was not effective. There's one or two where we had another case towards the end of Yevamos of somebody who was mekadish, a girl who had originally been mekadish only did abanam, where we said he acted improperly, so the chamim were makia his kirshin. But why don't we apply that more generally? Use that as a method to be able to be matir mamzerim. Use that as a method to be able to be matir agunos. So all of the Rishonim and then a lot of the Rishonim and a lot of the Achronim talk about this and go into great detail explaining what the deal is. Among them are some of the Rishonim explain that basically we don't have the authority from after the time of the Gemara to decide on our own when to apply this rule, when not. The cases where the Gemara said, it said. The cases where it didn't, we can't necessarily be Madama Milsa Milsa and go start doing that kind of thing. A different way of looking at it is the cases that the Gemara is talking about, the cases where we apply this rule after you entered up on the Kedushin, are cases where indeed there was some kind of reyesa to begin with. There was some kind of reyesa. There was a get given. It's just there was a physical get given. It's just there was an onus or his mevatel the get or what have you. Not necessarily can we apply it in a more general case where there was no such physical get or there was no such problem with the kedushin to begin with. We can't apply that. With that said, there are some of the Rishonim who do say that also another angle on it. Another angle on it that they talk about is, what's the chalal, the reason? What's the mechanism? If we're saying afkinu rabbanan l'kiddushin, how is that working? How do the rabbanan have the right to be mafkia kiddushin?
Yeah.
And so there's a few different answers with that also. One of them is that it's a matter of, it's basically you're being mekadesh al tanai. If the rabbanan agree with it, then if the rabbanan agree to the kiddushin, then good, and if not, then not. So then fine. You know, then the question becomes, maybe do we have the right to add our own tanai, basically? Another way of looking at it is maybe, and this specifically applies to Kedusha Kesef, we can say that Abba Hefka based in Hefker, they have the right to consider that the money was not his to begin with. Tosfos uses that. Hefka based in Hefker. The money is not considered, is considered Hefker. Therefore, there was never any Kedusha over here, which would also be why the Gemara is asking what's the difference, what you would do in the case of Bia, where no money ever changed hands. So then again, the question becomes, do our Batidinim nowadays have this authority of Hefker based in Hefker? That's another issue to consider. There have been Rishonim who used it in various circumstances. The Trumas Hadeshin, for example, mentions that one time he used this Afghani Rabbanan L'Kiddushin in a case of a bunch of women who were taken captive by Goyim, and he wanted to be able to make that they remain mutter to their husband. So like this Afghani Rabbanan L'Kiddushin, he undoes the Kiddushin to begin with, and that way, even if there's any possibility, as we'll learn on Amud Beis, that it might have been Viratzin, they won't become also to their husbands. The Rivash mentions that in his time they made a takana that if a person is mekadesh in front of less than ten people, then the kedushin are not chal. So there have been a few such cases among the Achronim, and the Maharsham one time writes in one of his Truvas the possibility of using it in order to be matir, in order to be machshir a mamzer. This was a case where a woman's husband disappeared. They had evidence that he was dead. She remarried later on. Her husband showed up. And now all of a sudden the child's a mamzer. So he writes v'halacha v'lo v'maisa. He says that maybe you can use this afkinu rabbanan l'kiddushin as one of the factors. But in general, in general, most of the poskim have been pretty wary of using this on a broader basis. The Beis Yosef, for example, describes in Eben Ezer, he brings a number of these truvas, and he says the bottom line is we can't really start doing this willy nilly. And many other. Rabbanim and Post can point out the same thing. I mean, if you do that, you're basically destroying the whole concept of marriage. You just do mafkia, the kiddushin, you never need again, and then you can't say that.
The colder goes out. Often after they're married, all of a sudden they're not married.
Also, right, it would destroy the whole. Yeah, no. Also, when there's children involved, even when there's children involved, okay, they don't become mamzerim, but still, you know, how are you going to say it through the hilas and all this time? Yeah. You don't do that. The bottom line is you only do it in certain extreme cases. Ikadamri. Now there was a different version of this whole discussion. We started out the discussion yesterday. Amar Rabbi, the in giftin ain't came. That when it comes to giftin, it's not the same. Unlike Nisurin, where there can be onus, by giftin there's no onus. Ikadamri. Now another version. Amar Rabbi, v'chemli in giftin. No, on the contrary, Rabbi said the same holds true as far as giftin. Alma Kasava Rabbi Yesh Onus for Gittin, which goes to show then that Rabbi holds that yes, there is Onus in Gittin. And now, based on what we said before, that Onus is based on the Pasuk and the Torah of Lanar Leisata Dover, then fine, that makes sense. But Mesvi, now we have all of the things that we tried to bring as proofs to Rabbi yesterday are now going to be contradictions. The Mishnah said, if a husband says to his wife, here's your get, and it takes effect if I haven't returned within 12 months, and he dies within the 12 months, ain't a get, then it's not a get, which would imply, which on the face of it implies only because he died, but if he became sick, then it would be a get. Why? If Yesh Onus Begitin, then he has a claim. I couldn't come back at the end of the 12 months because I was nanas. I was sick. And the answer is, La'olam emelach cholonami ain't a get. No, you could answer that the Mishnah really means to imply that even if he became sick, it's also still considered a get. He gufa kamash malon de ain't get lachamisa. The Mishnah would be telling us, the Chiddush, that you should know ain't get lachamisa. As we discussed yesterday, even though we're talking over here, it's a childless man who wants to prevent his wife from falling to Yibum, you might think maybe yesh get lachamisa in order to break the zikah. No, we don't say that. And again, the question is, ain't get lacham is alternative ratio. Why we had the ratio of that Mishnah that had the case where the guy says, if I die from the sickness, then this will be a get, and he said it's no good because ain't get lacham is. And the answer is, Dilma lapukim is Rabbi Seinu. No, because you could say that maybe the sefer of the Mishnah is coming to tell us not like Rabbi Seinu. As we learned yesterday, Rabbi Seinu, the famous Beis Din that was master oil of goyim to eat, the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, held that not they didn't hold yesh get lachamisa, but they held zmanish or shtamer chiyacholav. They can look at the date on the get and determine based on that when the get is supposed to be going into effect. So maybe therefore the Mishnah would have to be telling us two parts: one to tell us the basic concept ain't get lachamisa, and the other one to tell us that even if the get has a date on it, it's still a specific date, it still doesn't help. The Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Seinu. Tashma.
In other words,
here we would say yes, Einus Begizin. Here we would say yes. Next, Tashma. What about another Braisa that says there? If the person says, if the person says, this get is in effect as of now, if I don't return within 12 months, and he dies within the 12 months, Hare's a get, then it's a valid get, because now everybody would agree with that, both Rabbi Seinu and the other Tanoim, because he said, Me'achshav. So, my lab hu adin l'chola, wouldn't that be the same thing if he became sick? And again, life mess zavka. No, you could say the Mishnah means zavka if he, or the right or whatever, means zavka if he died. Because the whole reason he's given the get is to prevent her from having to be involved with the yavam, to have to have a zika and have to be yivam or chalitza. So only in that case would he want the tanai to be in effect. Tashma, come, let's bring a proof. Ma'ahu da'amalahu, from the case of the person who said to the people who he had right out the get, if I don't come within the next 30 days, I have a gitta, then it should be a valid get. Also, the slave told from Yomer to Paskin Mabre. He came at the end of the 30 days, but he was blocked by the ferry or by the bridge, so he couldn't make it across. He called out to them, look, I'm here. And Shmuel said it's not considered that he came. So you could argue that there you have a proof that even though there was an onus, nevertheless, the get is still in effect, which goes to show ein onus begitin. And the answer is no. Into the shchiach shayni. No, it's different with a very common kind of onus. As we said yesterday, Tosfos draws a distinction between different levels of onus. This kind of thing where the ferry isn't there at the time you need it is a very, very common thing, even more common than being sick or dying. Since he could have made a t'nai, he could have included that in his t'nai, and he didn't. Then he ruined things for himself. So we don't have any proof, according to the second version, against what Rava said. Now, what's the actual halacha? Is the halacha like Rava's first version, like the first version of what Rava said of the second? So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hananel that the halacha is like the first version. First of all, based on a Gemara and Gittin, and second of all, because all of these explanations that we just had to give over here, all these ways that we had to enter the Mishnayos, so that the Mishnayos and the Braises, so they don't contradict Rava, they're all, there's a bit of a doichet to them. It's more straightforward, the explanations that the Gemara gave yesterday when we said ein onus begitin, and we use each of those as a proof to Rava, than here where we're trying to prove that each of them is not a disproof of him, but each of these, okay, it's an argument, but it's a sort of weak argument.
The block of ein onus begitin.
So that's ein onus begitin is the bottom line.
The shriach, the onus is not
shriach. Now, the din still is, that if it was an onus that's completely not shriach, for example, Tosfos had mentioned yesterday the case where the person was eaten up by a lion, there's no question. I mean, we don't consider that. That's not considered the kind of onus we're talking about over here.
It wouldn't be a get.
So it wouldn't be a get in that case, yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be a get.
Right. Now, going back to the Mishnah, again, we had said we'd started out yesterday, the Mishnah had started out that a psula gets married on Wednesday and an almona gets married on Thursday. And we went through all of the reasons behind that, and that brought us into this whole business of onus. Getting back to that subject, Omer of Shmuel b'Yitzchok, lo shanu elam takanas Ezra ve'elach. This that we're saying in the Mishnah that it has to be dafka Wednesday for a psula is only after the takana of Ezra. She'en batedin in kvurin. She'en batedin in kvurin elav sheni v'chamishi. Because One of Ezra's takonis, the Gemara lists in Bava Kamma, 10 takonis of Ezra, one of them was that the Batadinim should sit on Mondays and Thursdays. That's their standard days to be sitting. So then, Ava Kodim takonis Ezra, Shabbat the Dinim Kavurin B'choyim, but before the takana of Ezra, a Beis Din can be Kavur any day of the week. Ishinissis B'choyim, then a woman can get married any day of the week. Now, Tosfos asks the question, so why did Ezra reduce the number of days that Beis Din is sitting?
Yeah.
And they answer that they did. Before the Takana of Ezra, whenever they needed a Din Torah, they would put together an ad hoc Beis Din right there. So it could be any day of the week. Ezra's Takana Fakesh was that the Bati Dinim should be sitting, they should be open for business every Monday and every Thursday. Those are the standard office hours of the Beis Din now.
That
he took away, but another, the point is, his takana was that the Bati Dinim have to have office hours on Mondays and Thursdays. So therefore, so that's why Dafka has to be Wednesday, so that if he has Tainus Pesulim, he can go there Thursday morning. The question is, the Gemara asks, what is Rav Shmuel Bar-Yitzchak teaching us? History. Kodim Takana Ezra, Ma'ay Dehava Haba. What do we need to know? What happened before Ezra's takana? It's ancient history. It's not important to know. What he means is like this. If there is a place where nowadays, where they have Bati Dinim that are kavua on different days of the week, as it was before the Takana of Ezra, then Isha Nithis B'chol Yom. Then Taka, a woman, is allowed to get married any day of the week, because then it doesn't have to be Wednesday to come to the Beis Din on Thursday. You could just as well get married on Thursday and come to the Beis Din Friday, etc.
Let's say you get married on Sunday or Monday.
That's the next thing the Gemara is going to ask. But wait, first actually, Rishonim asks, first of all, Tosfos points out something like this. We know you can't get married on Shabbos. That's a definite thing. A Mishnah mentions it in Beza. So when we say that you can get married any day of the week, we mean except for Shabbos. What about getting married on Friday? If the idea is that the next day the guy should be able to come to Beis Din, if you get married on Friday, he's not going to be able to come to Beis Din the next day. So Tosfos themselves says it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. The reason is, if he has a Tainus Pesulim, he can get together, he can just as well get together an ad hoc Beis Din on Shabbos. They're not going to actually judge the case on Shabbos, because you don't judge cases on Shabbos, but he can gather together the Rabbanim and tell them, you know what, I have a problem over here, I have a Tainus Pesulim, can you please give me an appointment on Sunday so we can hash it out?
What?
You don't down on Shabbos because, for one thing, so you don't come to right. It's exactly the Rabbanim, so you don't come to right. Other Rishonim point out another reason. This whole thing that we're talking about over here, going back to Rashi on the Mishnah, what was the importance of that if he had a Tainus Pesulim, he has to come the very next day to Beis Din? The importance of it was because we're concerned, what if she was Mizana between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin? And then she might be also to him. Well, nowadays we do the Kiddushin and the Nisuin together. We do them both right there under the chuppah. So there's obviously no possibility of that, and therefore there's much less of an issue. You don't really need this takana anymore that you have to be doing it the day before Beis Din sits. So therefore you could get married every day.
Well, the time of Amorah, they're not waiting a year at that point, right? They're doing it right away?
No, in the time of Amorah, they still waited a year.
So
in later times, in the time of the Rishonim or whatever, it changed that they started doing the Kiddushin and then it's doing right together. I think there's something that's quoted that Rashi was the one who was manhig that. Anyway, incidentally, by the way, in Europe, it was very common in many places for weddings packet to take place on Friday. On Friday evening, right before Shabbos, Mistama, so that they have to prepare a Suda for the wedding anyway. This way, it could be a Shabbos Suda. There's a famous story involving the Ramah, where the wedding was taking place in Krakow shortly before Shabbos, and there ended up being a whole argument about the Nadan, and the argument is going back and forth, and it's getting later and later, and finally, by the time they managed to broker a compromise, it's already Shabbos. The Ramah still went ahead and performed the wedding. And after Shabbos, he wrote a whole long tshuva justifying what he had done. He explained why in this case it was mutter al pi halacha, even though normally you're not allowed to be misadik kedushin on Shabbos. But after that, in Krakow, they made a takana, no more weddings on Fridays.
What was the same famous story that he told them not to get married, and then they sunk under the ground?
That's a different story. That's with Yitzchak of Krakow. That was with a Kohen who was marrying a Grusha.
Oh,
that's another story. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so now your question, Habarin and Shaktu. How are you allowed to get married any day of the week? What happened to the Shaktu Takana that you need 3 days to prepare the wedding? Okay, the answer is Ditriach Leis. Yes, fine. If he was Tereach before Shabbos, if he spent the time Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday preparing the Suda, then good, he's able to get married on Sunday. My Shaktu, so what's the Takana of Shaktu? Now, the question isn't where we know the Takana of Shaktu. Rashi says we know it already. We had it on Beis Hamid Aleph at the very beginning of the Gemara. Shmuel quoted it. The question is, you're telling me that you're trying to use it as a contradiction against Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak. He's an Amora. Shmuel, who said it, is also an Amora. He doesn't have to agree with Shmuel that there's a Takana of Shaktu. So where do we see that a Braisa, or even a Mishnah, says the Takana of Shaktu, that then we would say, yes, Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak has to agree to that? The Tanya, because we actually learn in a Braisa. Why do they say that a Basula gets married on Wednesday? Because if he has a Tainus Basulim, this way he can go first thing to Beis Din. And the Braisa continues, so why can't you get married on Sunday? Same idea, you'll go to Beis Din Monday morning. Because the Chachamim were careful about the Takana of Bnei Yisrael, she heard him Tereach B'Suda Shloisha Yomim, that a person should be working on preparing the Suda for 3 days, Echad B'Shabbat V'Sheni B'Shabbat V'Shlishi B'Shabbat, over to be Kainza, and then you marry her on Wednesday. So then, the Braita clearly says this idea of Shaktu.
What's that, to encourage him not to back out?
So we said yesterday that, yes, one idea of it is it encourages him to not back out, because after he spent 3 days preparing a Suda, he's less likely to back out, and also that he's less likely at that point to claim a Tainus Psulim.
Well, that's a factual thing.
What do you mean, a factual thing? If he has a Tainus Psulim?
Yeah.
First of all, not necessarily. We're going to have later on in the Perek, there's actually two different kinds of Tainus Psulim. There's one kind where he claims Pesach Basuach Matzasi, and there's another kind where he claims that Baal Tivoli Matzasi Dam. We'll get there next week.
What about the woman? Let's say she wants to forgive the Shaktu. Can she do that or not?
So Tosfos had said at the bottom of Beis Hamid Aleph that given that it's such a Konas Chachamim that you have to do it, then no. If you're over on that, then you'd be called over on Divrei Chachamim, and that's a pretty serious thing, which actually we're going to see now about when you can and can't override it. So wait. Continues the Braisa. From the time of danger and on, which we'll explain in a minute what the danger was, people started the minhag of getting married on Tuesday. And the Chachamim didn't object to that. At least, okay, you don't have 3 days. You don't have 3 days of preparation. At least you have 2. Continues the Braisa, you should not get married on Monday, even because of the sakana. All you need to do, Rashi says, is fine, you have to move it up 1 day, but at least don't move it up 2 days. Tosfos explains a little differently that it's not talking about a time of sakana. It's just saying that in general, other than a time of sakana, don't be getting married on Monday or Tuesday. But if it's a matter of oinus, which we'll talk soon what the oinus is, then you're allowed to get married on Monday. And the Braisa continues. Umafrishin as a chosin and a kala leila Shabbos chila. You separate the chosin and kala the first Friday night. Meaning, if they have not done the bia yet, normally we're saying they get married on Wednesday, or maybe we're saying b'shasa sakana they get married earlier in the week. If it happens that the bialas mitzvah, the first bia, has not taken place until Friday night, then you have to separate them. Leila Shabbos Tchila, if it's the first time that the bia is taking place, it's Friday night. Because the first bia involves making a wound, and you can't do that on Shabbos. Which we will discuss in a couple of days. We're going to discuss the dinim of that. The final halacha, by the way, just to give you a preview, the final halacha is not like that. The final halacha is you are allowed to do the first bia on Friday night. Even though it causes bleeding, we'll talk about in Achei Devav why that is. Yeah. But for now, this is what the Braisa is saying. So now, let's analyze the Braisa. My sakana. What is the danger that the Braisa is talking about where at some point, because of the danger, they had to move up weddings from Wednesday to Tuesday? Ilema da'amri b'stulani sasli yemer vite horig. Is it that there was a gzeira going on that a b'stula who gets married on Wednesday will be killed? Well, the Nagu, what do you mean? What do you mean, Nagu? They had a minug to change the date. It's a matter of Sakonis Nefashis. Gamri Nekre, you uproot it altogether. obviously the Chachamim are not going to tell us to keep the to keep that takana of Wednesday if it's a matter of pikuach nefesh.
What?
Why? So Tosfos says that what we're talking about is that the goyish ruler of that time is trying to prevent us, uses the expression. He's trying to force us to be over on a takanas chachamim. Now, it's not considered, the Pashtus, it's not considered Shas HaShmad, a time when there's a general persecution against Yiddishkeit, because then we say you go on Mesidus Nefesh, even the famous thing, Avsa de Misane, even if the Goyim are just telling us to change the color of our shoelaces. The Pashtus here we're talking about, it's one particular, he's being gojo against one particular thing. Yes, because then at least you're not following the Takanas Chachamim, which goes back to what Tosfos is saying, that if you were to get married on any other day without a compelling reason, you're being over on Takanas Chachamim. So let's assume that the Goyish rulers of that time know about that Takana, and they're actually trying to break us out of it. Well, then what do you mean Nagu? Then of course the Takana has to be bottled.
I see what?
The Takana has to to marry on Wednesday has to be set aside. Because the danger to life. Ella, no, not Ella. Omar Rabba, no. The case we're talking about over here is the Amri, where the rulers are saying, B'sula Anisat Yemeravi Ki Boil LaHegmen Tchila. Any B'sula who gets married on Wednesday will first have to be with the Hegmen, with the local ruler. We know there's a medrash that mentions that there was such a gzera in the years before the Nes Hanukkah. There's a medrash that describes how that was one of the triggers for the Chashmonaim revolting.
Yeah. But why the fourth? It can be any day.
So the Gemara is going to explain. What the Gemara is going to explain is soon is like this. They knew the standard day for weddings is Wednesday. So it wasn't so much, the Gzeira that we're concerned about is not so much anyone who gets married on Wednesday as opposed to any other day. Practically speaking, all weddings that happen on Wednesdays are psulas, so therefore that's going to be the rule. Any psula has to be tibor lahegmin chila. So by moving it to another day, we fashbar that. We avoid that problem. The question is, hai sakana oinasu? Why are we calling it a sakana? It's a matter of oinas. Sakana implies that there's a danger to life. What danger to life is there over here? The answer is mishum deikatznuas de masra napshayo lekatla, because you do have women who are tzniyistik, women who are machmir on themselves, and who will be moisen nefesh, and then there will be a danger to life. But the question is v'lidrish lehu de'onas shari. If that's the whole problem, that we're concerned about the danger to life, let us darshan, let the chachamim, rather than being mevatel the takana to marry on Wednesday because of gzeira, because as the Gemara is going to point out soon, gzeira tends to be mevatel soon afterwards. Why should we say, you know what? Because of the danger to life, let's just darshan. Let's explain to people that the onus shari, that a woman who's been nanas remains mutter to her husband. A woman who's been nanas, who's been raped, remains mutter to her husband. What we said over here is nagu ha'am lichnas b'shlishi v'leim michu b'yadim chachamim. That they started, people had a minug, they started a minug to get married on Tuesday, and the chachamim didn't object. Let the Chachamim tell them, you should know, Al-Pi Din, you don't have to be Moshe Nefesh, but Frat, by the way, according to the Rambam, the Rambam's Shitta fits very well with this Gemara. The Rambam's Shitta, we talked about it yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, whatever, is that something that you're not obligated to be Moshe Nefesh, a couple of days ago, at the end of Yeramas, actually, we had it, that you're not obligated to be Moshe Nefesh on, you're not allowed to be Moshe Nefesh on. To sacrifice you, to risk your life. And there's also why should we have them move the date because of this? Now Tosfos, by the way, has a long and classic discussion over here about the question. What do you mean? What do you mean you're not obligated to be Moshe Nefesh? Aber Zorah Gilad Ayis and Shvichas Damim. We all learn of the big three when we're little kids. And the Tosfos gives two in. She is an Eshetish. She's already in Scottish. This is before the Chuppah. So Tosfos gives two answers. They are very famous answers in Halacha. One is that she's passive, Kauka Olam. When we say that a person has to be Moitza Nefesh, not to for Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayis and Shvichas Damim, it's if you're taking the active part, which in the case of Gilei Arayis means the middle part. But if you take a woman is passive, so therefore it's not an issue. There's not, she would not be required to be Moitza Nefesh. The second explanation, very interesting, that Tosfos says is that in fact, a goy's be'ilah would not make a woman aser to her husband as an eshes ish. She's an eshes ish, but a goy having relations with her would not make her aser to her husband. And Tosfos mentioned the case, for example, that there was a goyish woman who had shmadzich, Rahman al-Islam, she had married a goy. Later on, she did tshuva, and the goy apparently wanted to become a ger as well. Rabbeinu Tam allowed them to stay married. We don't say since he was oser to her before, therefore she should be oser now. No, we say she's mutter. But then Tosfos has a further discussion about that, and the truth is it's a big machloikas among Rishonim. The halacha is that the general halacha, the halacha is decided according to the other opinion that it is, that the bia of a goy, it does ask her a woman to her husband if it was brought in. It's brought someplace, there's a medrash someplace that mentions among the many accusations that Haman brought in front of Ahasuerus, Yeshne Amechad, before Zer Mufarad, etc. One of the accusations, he said, is that you see that if a Jewish woman is Mizana with a goy, she doesn't become also to her husband. Effectively, they're considering us like behemoths, which is exactly what Rabbeinu Tam says here in Tosfos. So was Haman was saying according to this medrash? Was it Apiyal Acha according to Rabbeinu Tam? Yes. According to everybody else, no. Yeah, Haman was a smart guy. Minished, you know. He wasn't just a caricature that we make of Haman for him. He was a smart guy, yeah. No, he didn't. No, come on. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, the same way as we say that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam fill and go back to long before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, we find already with Machlokas by the Gaonim. The same thing, this opinion that we're saying over here in Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Tam may well have been known much earlier. The answer is, Ika Prutzos, first of all, you have women who are Prutzos, and here Prutzos really does mean that they're actually Prutzos, not like on Amud Aleph where we discussed whether it means Prutzos or just average. Here it means they're actual Prutzos. What's going to happen if we're Makel on them, if we tell them, you know what, you've been with this Hegma and you're still Mutter to their husband, to your husband, they're going to do it, they're going to do it willingly. And then they are going to be also to their husband, not according to Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, but
they're married.
Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah.
That could be one in a million chances. It's a wedding day where you expect a normal person to get put like that. I mean, they could be...
But the point is that if we're makel to them now, and in general we tell them oinus is also, so yeah, even after they're married, they'll go and have an affair and claim that it was oinus. The ikonami koinus. And second of all, you have women who are married to koinin. They become also even if it was an oinus. So if nothing else, for their sake, we're not saying they would have to be motzi nefesh, but we can't just go and tell them a blanket statement, onus shari, because they taka won't be motzi to their husbands. So for their sake, if nothing else, if the people were noyig to move up the wedding to Tuesday in order not to attract the attention of the hegmon, fine. Then the chum said fine. The local goyish ruler. Now, the question is, okay, if that's the case, why don't we cancel the takana altogether? Given that sometimes it can lead to takana, then why we say nagu, that people had a minug to get married on Tuesday? Let the Chachamim officially declare, go get married on another day. The answer is, gzeira avida debatla, because gzeira tends to be canceled after a while. A decree like this that the goyim make doesn't necessarily last very long. The takanta, the rabbanon, become gzeira, lo yakrinim. We don't want to cancel a takana of the rabbanon, which is supposed to be for all time, because of a temporary gzeira. So therefore, we'd rather work around it for the time being. You have to work around it. People are going to be noyig to, people are going to have a minug to make a wedding a different day, then fine. But we don't want to uproot the takana altogether. There's a vort on this from the Ishbitzer, who says that the expression gzeira avida debatla means avida. The symbol of meaning of avida is that it tends to. But he explained it gzeira avida debatla. The Ishbitzer arranges that a gzeira happens only for the sake that it should afterwards be nisbatel, and the Jewish people have more to thank the Ishbitzer for being saved from it. Okay, Ihoch Vashlishi Nami also you royal. Nu, if you're gonna move weddings to Tuesday, then he's gonna come on Tuesday also and force himself on her. The answer is mistake alai akarnapche. Okay, but he's not gonna come into the city, he's not gonna bother schlepping into the city with his whole entourage just on the off chance that there's a wedding on Tuesday. When he knows there's a standard day for weddings. But on the off chance that another day of the week, such as Tuesday, there might be, he's not going to bother. So there's not going to be such a problem of oinus or sakana in that case. Now, then the Brai said, continue Rav Sheni lo yichnis b'machnas ha'oinus mutter. We said that you shouldn't get married on Monday because then you really don't have shakdu. Then you really only have one full day of preparation for the wedding. B'machnas ha'oinus mutter. But if it was a case of oinus, then it's allowed. So my oinus, what kind of oinus? What kind of overriding concern are we talking about? Ilay mahadam maron. Is it the case that we just talked about? Maybe the Hegman finally did start realizing that weddings are taking place on Tuesday also, and therefore we have to move it up to Monday. Can't be. Hasam kodeles kana v'hachak kakarilei oinus. Previously, in the previous line of the Braisa, we called it a danger because we said it's a danger to life. Some women will be moisa nefesh. And now we're calling the pain name oinus. And then you have another difference. Previously we said people are noying. People had a minug to do it on Tuesday. Hacham mutter, here we're saying it's outright mutter. It's outright allowed. So Rashi says the difference is like this. Nagu means most people have the minug to. Mutter implies if one individual person decides they need to get married on Monday, they come to Beis Din for a one-off heter. It's not a general thing that people have been doing. Tosfos says differently. Tosfos says that the vort is that nagu implies that people do it, but if somebody comes to Beis Din and asks, should I change the wedding date to Tuesday because of this problem, we won't tell them to do that. You want to, there's a minhag out there, fine, but we're not going to tell you to do it. As opposed to mutter would imply that we Beis Din will tell them, you're allowed to. Anyway, so what kind of onus are we talking about? Amarava, da amri sartsava balair. The case is that we're talking about that a general is coming to the city.
Not a
hegmon. A hegmon is like a count or something. A sartsava is a general. He has all his soldiers with him. The soldiers live off the land. They're going to go grab whatever they can to feed the army, including they're going to grab all the stuff from the wedding. So the question is, are we talking about that he's coming and then he's leaving right afterwards? Then why we say move up the wedding to Monday because of him? Rashi says, wait till next week. Wait till next week, Wednesday, and make the wedding then. Tosfos says a little differently that if we're saying that he's going to come sometime on Wednesday and leave that same day, then fine, wait till he leaves and then make the wedding. The answer is Litzrich the Asi v'Kava b'Gimel. Yes, but the case we're talking about is where he actually shows up in town and makes himself a kavir. So he settles there in town on Tuesday. The Gimel belongs to the next sentence. The Asi v'Kava, that he comes, he's going to be settled in there for a while. So he can't postpone the wedding. According to Rashi, you can't say postpone it to next week. He may be there for 2 months. And according to Tosfos, you can't say postpone it till the end of the day. He's going to be there for a few days at least.
You know, what they people make weddings on that. That's why he's coming for the citadel, or he just wants him to fly the
food anyway? No, not necessarily does he know. We're not necessarily saying that he knows, but if he comes to town on Wednesday, then you need to move up the wedding. So the question is, begimel mi alichnois, okay, why do you have to move it all the way up to Monday, and then take out 2 days of shakdu? Make it on Tuesday. The answer is, ispar v'didei begimel ka'asu, because the suppliers show up ahead of him. They come to town the day earlier. So therefore, if he's planning to come on Wednesday, then all these guys who are in charge of foraging for food are going to be showing up on Tuesday. If you make the wedding on Tuesday, you got the same problem. They're going to take all the food. Move up the wedding to Monday, and so according to Rashi, then it's a one-off thing. It's not a general thing. That's why we say mutter. And according to Tosfos, it means that Beis Din will say l'chatchila, go ahead and do that then. So all your food doesn't get taken. Or another possibility, my machmas onus, what kind of onus are we talking about that we're saying that you can move up the wedding even all the way to Monday? Kedetanya, the kind of onus that we're talking about in the following braisa. Suppose that the bread for the wedding was already baked, the meat was already shechted, the yene mazug, and the wine was already mixed with water, as they used to do in those days, and all these things are going to spoil afterwards. And the father of the chasen or the mother of the kala dies, which Rashi explains, and the Gemara will explain, on the next Amud, that we mean davka then, because the chasen's father and the kala's mother, davka, are the ones who help them prepare their things for the wedding. So now you have not only the Suda is going to get ruined, but also the Chosin, if they delay the wedding, the Chosin's not going to have his father available to help him put together new stuff for the wedding, and the Kala's not going to have her mother to help her prepare her cosmetics and then jewelry and whatnot for the wedding.
I mean, does the guy before
the prepared? Or is it supposed to? No, he said they're prepared. So everything's all ready, and then the father of the Chosin or the mother of the Kala dies. What we do is like this: we bring the body into a side room, like put it aside for now. That's a chasen, that's a kala l'chuppah. We bring the chasen kala into the chuppah. We have the wedding. Oboil be'ilas mitzvah. He does the first be'ilah with his kala, the be'ilah which is a mitzvah. Tosfos points out it's mitzvah because it brings them closer together and it brings the period of Rivia. The period of Rivia makes them that now they'll be able to have children. It cements the relationship between them when they have relations the first time. Upodish, and then he separates from her until after Shiva. V'noyeg Shiva Simei Mishta. Then at that point they keep the seven days of Sheva Brachas.
After Shiva.
Four. V'achasach noyeg Shiva Simei Avelus, and then the 7 days of Avelus. Because what it is we consider, Rashi says, we consider it as though. As we consider those 7 days of the Sheva Brachas the equivalent of a Yom Tov. And the same way as the din is, we learned in Moed Katan that a person where a relative of theirs dies during Yom Tov, or Chalamoyed, you postpone, you don't start Shiva until after Yom Tov. Same idea here. V'chol Oysen Ayomim, during all those days, until they're able to resume relations, Hu Yashin Bein HaAnashim V'Hi Yashin Bein HaAnashim. He has to sleep among other men. She has to sleep among other women, meaning we don't allow them to be in Yichud with each other because an Avol, we learned in Moed Katan, is also B'tash Mesha Mitzah. They're also to have relations. And Rashi adds, even during, we said Shiva doesn't start until after Sheva Brachas, but even during the days of Sheva Brachas, we consider it the equivalent of, for example, Avelos on Shabbos or on Yom Tov or whatever, where we say Tefonim Shabbat Sina, things that are in private, such as Tashma Shamita, are still in effect. And Brayza continues, Ve'ein Monin Tachshitin Min Akala Kol Shloshim Yom. However, we don't prevent the Kala from wearing, because of her Avelos, we don't prevent her from wearing her cosmetics or jewelry or whatever throughout the 30 days, even though she has a Shloshim, she has days of Avelos. But nevertheless, she's allowed to wear it so that she's attractive to her husband. Other Mepharshim say that it's not just talking about Avelos, it's talking in general, even we're not talking the specific case like this where Avelos happened right before the wedding, even if, let's say, she comes into Avelos sometime during the 30 days after the marriage, after the wedding, same idea. She's allowed to continue wearing Tachshitin because during those first 30 days, she has to look extra attractive to the husband. And the Gemara points out, but Davka Ovev Shal Chosin or Ima Shal Kala. This is Davka if the Chosin's father or the mother or the Kala's mother died. Deleka Inish Tatarach Lahu, because then you don't have anybody else who's going to work as hard for them to prepare stuff for the wedding. But if it's the other way around, if it was the Chosin's mother or the Kala's father or any other relative, then we don't have this dispensation. Then we would say they have to postpone the wedding. They have to sit Shiva first and then have the wedding. Actually, the Rif's Shitta is not like that. The Rif's Shitta is that regardless, you allow them to have the wedding first. The question is just do they have the Sheva Brachas first or do they have the Sheva Brachas first or the 7 days of Avelos first? But everybody else disagrees with him, and Halacha is not like him.
What kind of Tachshitin?
So Tachshitin in Gemara usually means cosmetics.
Really?
Cosmetics, like perfume and eyeshadow and lipstick.
Nice.
So now she needs her mother. I mean, think of it. You know, but think of how it is nowadays. But Kala doesn't put on her own makeup. She goes, you know, she goes to her makeup artist, right? In those days, the makeup artist was the Kala's mother.
No, you're saying that everything was all set up, and then she passed away after the makeup was
right. But she's still going to continue needing it during the 30 days. We're saying so. At least for the Sheva Brachas. Yeah.
Oh, the mother passed away.
The mother passed away, right? And the mother is okay, so we'll continue tomorrow between Minchas Maariv, Be'ez Hashem.
Where are you going?
Upstairs.